You're tuned to Anything You Ever Wanted to Know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number for your questions and answers today and this hour is 800-933-5372. We got a new email address this week. We're having some server issues here at the station. And so you can email your questions and answers to us at anythingkera@gmail.com. Again, that's anythingkera@gmail.com, and we'll do our best to get to as many of your questions and answers as we can. And I should say, if you did email in late in the hour last week or over the weekend or this week, please send those again today to anythingkera@gmail.com because we cannot access them. And I think there were some good answers in there. To start off from the question stack, Bill in Dallas asks, why are cardboard milk cartons often described as unacceptable by paper recyclers? He says, I realize they have certain coatings that are undesirable, but so do metal cans. He says, if envelopes with cellophane windows are okay, why not milk cartons? Is there something about the reprocessing of paper that cannot tolerate a tiny fraction of a percent of cardboard milk cartons? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us, anythingkera@gmail.com. Gina says, can anyone help our efforts to attract bats to our southern-facing bat house mounted over 10 feet high in our backyard? She says, we had found one in an outdoor umbrella at one time. What else can we do to guide them into their bat house? 800-933-5372. Brad emailed us, why does TxDOT paint the broken white lines that separate two lanes of traffic, then come back and paint half of the stripe, the white stripe, black? I think we've had this question before. On North Central Expressway, there's the stripes are black and white. And I think the idea was that they provide a higher level of contrast. But maybe someone will be able to follow up on that with a better answer. And Maria writes, my PC has been invaded by a malware that redirects my Google search results and gives me false security warnings trying to get me to buy antivirus software. So SpyBot has not been able to detect the malware. Does anyone have a suggestion? Well, call us, 800-933-5372. And again, email us today at a different address, anythingkera, all one word, anythingkera@gmail.com. And let's start today with Grant in Dallas. Hello, Grant.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey there.
Excuse me. I've got a question of curiosity. I drive from the central Dallas area to southeast Dallas every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed a pattern on, especially it's only on the green traffic light. And you know how they installed the green traffic dots,
mm-hmm.
thinking that you know, if some of the dots went away, you could still tell it was a green light. What I've noticed is
you're talking about the LED style street light.
Exactly.
Okay.
What I've noticed is a pattern. At first, I thought it was either a bird or a nest up against the green light, but there's a particular crack in every one of these traffic lights, and it looks like a bird. And I was wondering if any one of your other listeners has noticed this, and maybe if they might know what it is,
okay.
because it's one particular crack.
All right, well, we'll ask and see if anybody else has.
And I think I have an answer for the computer question.
Sure.
If they would check to see what programs are running, because it may be a read-only item that they need to check mark to get that released from their program.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay.
Great. Thanks, Grant.
Thank you.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open today, anythingkera@gmail.com. That's where we're getting your email questions and answers today. Let's talk next on the phone to Stan in Plano. Hello, Stan.
Yes.
Hey there.
I've got a rather technical question.
Okay.
And you may have had on the show before. I want to know the relationship between gravity and centrifugal force from the Earth spinning. Does a person weigh less at the equator versus the North Pole? And how fast would the Earth have to spin to make a difference?
Okay. Well, we'll ask and see if someone has an answer for you.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Thanks for calling, Stan. Up next at 800-933-5372 is James in Dallas. Hello, James.
Good morning or afternoon.
Hey there.
Settle a dispute over electricity usage.
Mm-hmm.
On the thermostat for your air conditioner, there is a switch One position is auto, one position is on. Dear old dad says, leave it on all the time, you'll use less electricity. I said, impossible. Auto is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the question. Which switch position saves more electricity?
Well, I mean, and do you have a programmable, if you have a programmable thermostat, the answer is obviously to let it warm up some during the day while you're
It's an off-timing one.
Okay.
That's, you know,
you move it up and down, right?
And going on.
Okay. So, question is, run the fan all the time, and just it just stays, so it just keeps pumping out cold air all the time, and never shuts off, or have it set on auto.
Cold air, fan just runs the fan.
Right. Okay.
So kicks the air the compressor on
right.
whenever the temperature is reached.
Okay. Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
All righty.
Thanks, James. Let's talk next to Dave calling from Arlington. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
It's going well.
Hey, how cold does it get on the sun during wintertime? And also, I've read about solar wind. Is there such a thing as solar snow?
Hmm. Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer.
Also, I had a question a while back. A gentleman asked if there was a possibility of there being water on the sun, and I have an answer for that. It's actually probably it's just too bright to see.
Well, I think it's several million degrees, though.
Oh, so it would just evaporate into the atmosphere.
Yeah, and I think we got an answer on that. But we'll see if we get an answer for your question on solar wind.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling.
Bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything, K-E-R-A, at gmail.com. Let's see. Unless we got this from Johnson and Euless, who wonders how to get his old hand-carved wooden 4-foot by 6-foot Last Supper appraised. I guess it's an artwork. Let's see. Kendra in Irving says, I have a recurring sewer odor in my home. She says, two different plumbers have tried unsuccessfully to solve the problem. So I need a plumber who uses a smoke machine, not bombs, she says, to detect leaks. But so far have been unable to find one. We'll see if we get a couple of suggestions. And David in Dallas asks, does the city of Dallas accept aerosol cans for recycling? I don't know if you can put them in your blue bin or not. I'm pretty sure you can take them to the home hazardous chemical recycling location. For Dallas County, it's on Plano Road, just north of 635. And you can find their hours of operation if you go on. If you go online, if you search for Dallas County Home Hazardous Chemical Collection, it'll give you all, you'll find all the information there. 800-933-5372. Up next is Todd calling from Arlington. Hello, Todd.
Hi, thank you, Jeff. I have just a question, but actually a comment on one of your other questions.
Okay.
There, the guy wanting the appraisal of the Last Supper and carbon. I'm an auctioneer, and the best place to start. Is believe it or not with an auctioneer, but the best place to start is somebody who is a carver and collects, too, at the same time, or been in carving all his life. He'll know who the famous artists are and different things like that. And also, to him, don't be disappointed if it's not worth what you think it is.
Right, sure.
We've been ruined by Antiques Roadshows. We've been overrun by that. And also, my question is, I need to know glass blowers in the area, companies, I have a CO2 diffuser that goes in an aquarium, and they're $100 a piece, and I broke the little stem off, and I just needed a daub of glass put on there and blown out so I can start using it again.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we get an answer for you, a suggestion
Thank
for you.
Thank you.
All right. You bet. 800-933-5372. Email today, anything, K-E-R-A, at gmail.com. If you're wondering why, well, we have a little problem with the server here today, so we're relying on the greatness of the internet to provide your email contact today for the show. A couple of answers that came in. We had a question last week about, essentially it was, I sold my car and to someone and they're driving on the tollway and not paying tolls and I'm getting the bills. What do I do? Thomas says, if you live near a North Texas Tollway Authority roadway, you also live near a toll tag store. If not, ntta.org has contact information. He says, I've always had a good experience with them. They may be limited by laws and regulations, but if not, they're certain to be helpful, and at least you will get the official word. Ivan says, fill out a sold vehicle form from TxDOT. He says it's about $5 cost. You can do it online, and then mail a copy in to NTTA. And, of course, you might want to make contact with them as well. Wanda in Irving says, for the listener who's asking about the films from the 30s with small children in all roles, it says it might have been one of the Baby Burlesques films, B-U-R-L-E-S-K-S. Wanda says these were was a rival production to the Our Gang films, but based on the one she says I've seen with Shirley Temple, they were a little bit more, I guess, adult in nature, a little bit more dramatic. For the real lawnmower blade sharpening, Kelly in Dallas says, try Viega Knife Sharpening on Gaston Avenue. It's in Dallas near Baylor Hospital. And Buzz says, I have an old Sears mower from the late 1940s. And he says, real mowers' blades need a surface against which to press the grass blades with a few thousandths of an inch gap, and this is accomplished with an adjustable strike bar. He says, sharpening can be done by simply adjusting the gap on the strike bar to near zero and applying valve grinding compound, available at any car parts dealer, to the cutting surface. He says, I use two grades, coarse, then fine. He says, once the blades are honed, the interference stops. You simply nudge the gap back to its recommended setting, then oil the blades liberally, and he says, have a cold beer. 800-933-5372. Email us anything, K-E-R-A, at gmail.com. Up next is Matthew calling from Denton. Hello, Matthew.
Hello.
Hey there.
Yes, I believe I have an answer for the question regarding the milk carton recycling.
Yeah.
I'm a plant manager at a local paper recycler, and the reason that cartons are considered undesirable is in the paper-making process, the milk cartons are considered wet strength. So in the paper-making process, in most paper mills that consume recycled paper, they aren't able to actually pulp the milk cartons because the milk carton is coated with sort of a poly coating, and that's where it gets its name. Its wet strength is from that poly coating, and you cannot turn that into pulp with which to make paper.
Oh, okay.
So that's why most recycling houses consider that an undesirable component.
So is there any way to... Is there any way to recycle them, or is there any way that they can be? I guess we're just waiting on a new process, sounds like.
There is. There are some mills, specialized mills that handle that. There's a local company called Tetra Pak that is starting to expand what they call the aseptic packaging or the wet strength packaging from milk cartons, especially the post-consumer content. They're starting to have drop-off locations, and they're getting those programs started up. But right now, for the most part, unfortunately, they're still considered a contaminant and therefore undesirable in the paper-making process.
Very good. Well, Matthew, thanks so much for calling.
All right, thank you.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email, it's always open, anything, K-E-R-A, at gmail.com. That's the address we're using this week. On the malware, John says, download and install Malwarebytes antivirus software from malwarebytes.com, and it will clean it up. He says, you might have to restart in safe mode and run it in safe mode, depending on how bad the malware is. And Justin says, you can find a good malware removal program at AVG. It's free.avg.com. It's the AVG antivirus program. And he says, if you're willing to spend some money, Justin says, I highly recommend Panda Antivirus. He says it's about $50 for a year-long license, but it's very effective. Call us, 800-933-5372, or email us your questions and answers, anything, K-E-R-A, at gmail.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to Anything You Ever Wanted to Know on K-E-R-A. Originating from Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton in Texas, and I'm Jeff Whittington. Our phone number is 800-933-5372. You can email us. Today we're using this email address, anythingkera@gmail.com. And that's what Paul has done from Dallas. Paul asks, is there a website that gives drawings or architectural elevations or a diagram of the work on Northwest Highway at Flagpole Hill. He says, I understand they're raising the roadbeds out of the floodplain, but the current bridge construction, he writes, has me wondering what the finished project will look like. He adds, before construction, it was three lanes in each direction, and that's been reduced to two each way during construction. He says, but at Lothar Drive, the newly constructed bridge doesn't seem to match up with Northwest Highway under the Dart Rail Bridge to allow for six lanes after construction. He says, I checked the TxDOT website and couldn't find any information. Does anyone have a suggestion? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything, kera@gmail.com. Up next on the phones from Fort Worth is Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hello.
Hey there.
I have an answer for the gravity centrifugal force question.
Yeah.
The answer is yes, centrifugal force does make a person standing at the equator weigh less than a person standing at the North Pole. And interestingly, if you're not at the equator or the North Pole, if you're somewhere in between, mm-hmm. Because of centrifugal force pushing out away from the axis of the Earth, what feels like is pointing straight down isn't actually towards the center of the Earth. So in other words, if you like hung a pendulum, then it will actually point a little bit away from the center of the Earth because of the centrifugal force. So.
Okay. Well, great. Thanks for calling.
No problem. Have a great day.
Let's talk next at 800-933-5372 to Miles in Dallas. Hello, Miles.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well.
I have a question about, like, the cartoon heart and the origins of where that came from.
Okay.
So I don't know if you know or if anyone else knows, but me and my girlfriend got in a little debate about it because I'm a graphic designer, and I thought it was from maybe, like, the card game, you know, Ace of Hearts and stuff like that. But we don't know.
Right. So where did that design, the heart, the traditional heart that, the heart-shaped heart.
Right. The cartoon one that's on the cards or whatnot.
Yeah. And on playing cards as well. So, yeah, we'll ask.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Miles. 800-933-5372. Email, it's anything KERA. Anything KERA at gmail.com. I've got it on a huge sheet of paper right here, but old habits. Anything KERA at gmail.com from, let's see, James, who says, the sun temperature doesn't change when the seasons on Earth change. And Chris in Minneapolis adds, the sun doesn't know of or care about its planet's seasons. It says the temperature of the sun is generally fairly constant, except for sunspots and other transient phenomena. Chris says there is also no such thing as solar snow. And Chris adds there's no water on the sun. Its temperature is much too hot for water to exist as anything except perhaps plasma. It says the predominant elements found on and in the sun are hydrogen and helium. He says there is very little, if any, oxygen. 800-933-5372 is the phone number. Email address anythingkera@gmail.com. Let's talk next to John in Wichita Falls. Hello, John.
Hello. I have an answer for the gravity question. The previous caller said, yes, that you are lighter at the equator.
Mm-hmm.
The amount is about a tenth of a percent. So for an average human, it's a couple of ounces different.
Okay.
You're a little heavier at the North Pole than you are at the equator.
But with a good scale, you could see the difference.
Just barely.
Okay.
Thanks.
Hey, very good. Thanks for calling. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Michael in Fort Worth. Hello, Michael.
Yes, sir. I've got the air conditioner setting up.
Yeah.
I've had more than a few people, plus a longtime friend who owns a major company here in the area, and question that. There's two sides to this point. He's asking about leaving the fan on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some kind of a misconception. And I did do the research and look it up. People think that fans left on, or ceiling fan, or the AC left on helps with the air conditioner use or heating use, and that is a misconception. The only creatures that know the difference are animals like dogs, cats, and humans. But if those are not in the room, the AC and the cooling of the room makes no difference whatsoever. But the cooling of the wind moving against the evaporation on the skin is the difference.
Right.
So leaving the fan on is not beneficial for Consumer Reports, for instance.
Okay. So you would vote for...
I had another answer, and I don't remember what it was, so I'll just have to call you back.
But so you're voting for the auto You put it on automatic.
There's 100% no doubt. I mean, I have personally done the research and checked it out with professionals and with the federal government. And again, the ceiling fan is a misconception.
Okay.
Turn it off if you're not in the room.
Very good. Well, and I think our caller was asking about the fan on the actual AC unit, like on the thermostat.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
The air flowing is the question.
Very good.
And that fan blowing is a waste of electricity unless you are in the room.
Okay. Well, Michael, thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right. 800-933-5372. Let's see. Let's talk next to Wayne calling from Irving. Hello, Wayne.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey there.
I have a question about automobile insurance.
Uh-huh.
When I was in high school, of course, my father was paying my insurance. And unfortunately, I had a couple of accidents. And it got to the point where my insurance was going to be very expensive. So even though I didn't have a car, my father indicated that I needed to go down to the DPS and turn in my license. His reasoning was that if I had a license, he was going to be forced to pay automobile insurance on me, whether or not I had a car. So my question was, is any person with a driver's license required to carry some type of automobile insurance?
I don't know. I don't think so.
And I wondered if my situation was particularly because I was a minor living in the household with access to a car. But it never made any sense to me that if I didn't own a car, but I still had to pay. You know, it was astronomical being a teenager with two accidents.
Right, right. Okay. Well, we'll ask and see if anybody has a suggestion or an answer for you.
Some insight on that would be helpful. Thanks.
All right. You bet. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open. It's anythingkera@gmail.com. Let's see. Rodney writes, I've noticed several cornfields, at least that's what they look like, off I-35 in Fort Worth near the Miller and Mrs. Baird's plants. He says, last year, as far as I noticed, they were never harvested. I'm wondering what the purpose of the fields are. Let's see. We also got this from Thomas in Dallas, who writes, a couple of decades ago, television meteorologists stopped telling us about the humidity and started telling us what the dew point was. He says, I don't know anyone who knows what the dew point means, other than generally, the higher the dew point, the higher the humidity. Why the change? Does anyone know why they tell us now what the dew point is and not the humidity? 800-933-5372. Email anythingkera@gmail.com. Let's talk next to Tim in Dallas. Hello, Tim. Tim, are you with us?
Hello?
Yes, you are with us.
Hi. I have an answer to the gravity question.
Okay.
It's true that at the equator, you would weigh less than at the north or south pole,
mm-hmm.
but the amount that you would weigh less would be negligible. But there is an interesting phenomenon called the Coriolis effect that is caused by the rotation, the velocity of the Earth, where you're moving faster at the equator than you would be at the north or south pole. And so if you traveled from the equator towards the north or south pole, you wouldn't travel exactly north. You would actually travel northeast, because of the velocity of the Earth. And this is why in the northern hemisphere, hurricanes, you know, go counterclockwise, and also why planes have to change their trajectories if they're flying from the equator towards, say, the North Pole.
Okay.
And well, also I had one for the dew point.
Sure.
The dew point is the pressure and temperature of that certain day where water will start falling out of the cloud. So if you go over that pressure and temperature, then water will start falling out of the cloud.
Very good. Well, Tim, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email, it's anythingkera@gmail.com. Raymond in Fort Worth says, I've been in the energy management business for quite some time, and when the fan on your AC is set to auto, the fan only runs when heating or cooling is required to maintain the temperature set point. Therefore, he says, using less energy than if it's running continuously. And Dr. Mark Hairston at UTD is responding to the questions about the sun. He says, what is the temperature on the sun during the winter? He says, winter is not caused by the sun cooling down. Seasons occur on the Earth and other planets because of the tilt of that planet's axis. He says, the sun's surface temperature varies slightly over the 11 to 13-year solar cycle, but it's only a few hundred degrees difference. The average surface temperature of the sun is about 5,700 degrees Kelvin, or 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's cooler than I said. And he says, there is no water on the sun. The temperatures are so high that no chemical compounds can exist. He says, if I dumped some liquid water on the sun, it would first vaporize, and then the individual molecules would be broken up into just the hydrogen and oxygen atoms. He says, actually, hydrogen and oxygen ions, since most of the electrons would be removed by the high temperatures. Well, thanks, Mark, for emailing and setting us straight on those questions. 800-933-5372 is where we find David calling from Denton. Hello, David.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, same to you.
And I seem to remember the number well from my catechism classes. St. Valentine, forget the particulars of why he was separated from his love, but there was a heart-shaped vine handy outside his window that he used to send love notes down to the ground.
Very good.
Additionally,
well, David, thanks so much for calling, and really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. 800-933-5372. Up next, let's talk to Jason in Mesquite. Hello, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I have another comment on the air conditioning question. I do work for an air conditioner. My father owns the company. And so, you know, I know we're talking about two different sides of the question. One, if you leave the fan on auto, I think that one's already been answered.
Right.
But another thing is, what setting should I keep my thermostat at while I'm not home? And I think this is a big efficiency issue. And the answer is you should keep it only a few degrees warmer than you would like it while you are home. And the rationale behind that is because if you let the heat and the humidity build up in your house while you're gone, when you start your air conditioner, when you get home, it puts a greater load on the actual components and on the entire system for a longer period of time, much like a car, you know, running in the wrong gear. So when you keep it at the high efficiency gear running all day long and only adjusting it up a few degrees warmer during the day while you're not home, it puts a lighter load on the air conditioner when you come home and actually need it.
So you're saying 4 or 5 degrees, not 4 or 5 degrees is fine, but not 10 or 15 degrees.
Yeah, that's correct, because at that point the humidity will start to build up in your house and the load will increase that when you kick it on. You know, I don't know the exact science. I just know that's what we tell our customers, and that's
sure.
How we run our houses.
Well, I've noticed. We personally went to a new system with a programmable thermostat a couple of years ago, and I've noticed that it knows, you know, that I want it to be say 75 degrees by 5:30, or 4:30, and so it starts to step it down about 2 hours beforehand, just a degree at a time. The computer knows.
Oh yeah, well that's fantastic. You know, because that eliminates the same issue that I'm talking about. Is you'll come home and you'll ask it to take out 10, 15 degrees of not only temperature, but it has to remove the humidity from the air before it can start decreasing temperature.
Great. Well, Jason, thanks for calling.
All right, thanks a lot.
Let's talk next at 800-933-5372 to Robert in Fort Worth. Hello, Robert.
Good afternoon. You've got some great listeners, and that air conditioning fella hit it right on the head. There was another question. Oh, my goodness. I got so absorbed listening to him, I forgot the answer. My apologies. So I'll have to call back.
It was about car insurance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ran into this personally. The car insurance is actually on the vehicle, no matter if it's a trailer, a car, a truck, whatever. The only difference is if you've got licensed drivers in the household or that might be using the vehicle, the insurance company wants to know that. And as an example, if you were driving your car, but you loaned it to your grandson or your nephew, whoever, and they have an accident and it's their fault, you are responsible.
Right.
But if you can somehow
fine to the insurance company that that licensed driver will not be touching the vehicle. If they live in the same household, it's real sticky. Insurance companies consider somebody else in the household who's a licensed driver, unless you have two separate vehicles, as a probability outlook, just like actuarial skills. So that's the only difference. But the insurance is not per person, it's per vehicle.
Right. So in our caller's scenario, the father was able to call the insurance company and say, look, he doesn't have a driver's license anymore. He's not going to be driving.
Well,
please lower my cost.
If the household doesn't have a driver's license, that pretty much answers that one.
Right, right. Okay, well, hey, thanks for calling, Robert.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk next to Nayar calling from Frisco. Hello, Nayar.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
That's good. I was just going to say about the same thing about the insurance companies. And like he said, he has to give up his driver's license. But other than that, my personal experience was if your children are living in your home and once they are insured with your insurance, the insurance companies want, if you say suddenly, oh, my son is not here, I'm not going to have his insurance anymore, they want a change of address confirmation before they can cancel or do anything. I guess that dad is right. If the guy doesn't have any license, he can drive at all. And insurance companies can charge him.
Great. Well, thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome. Right. Thank you. Bye.
Let's see. Greg says, since I have a new teenage driver in the household, I know this. He says, the insurance company can look up all drivers at a residence, and your insurance rate will take into account all licensed drivers, whether they drive or not. He says, last year when my daughter turned 16 and got her license, my insurance for two cars went from about $700 to nearly $1,500. And let's see. Sammy says, to find plans for the road construction on Northwest Highway, go to the building department and ask for them. Sammy says they are public record. And Lynn says, for glass blowing, try Vetro Glass Blowing, V-E-T-R-O, on Main Street in Grapevine, Texas. Vetro Glass Blowing. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anythingkera@gmail.com. We'll be right back. This is Anything You Ever Wanted to Know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. You can call us, 800-933-5372. You can email us. And again, today we're using the anythingkera@gmail.com email address. And that's where we got this from Travis in Dallas, who asks, is there a place in Dallas where I can take a toy figure or doll to have the paint repaired? And Joe writes, I visit with a woman in a retirement home who has beautiful dolls that she made herself, and she said she used to buy the equipment at a hobby shop. The faces seem to be bisque or porcelain that she carves out. She says, I would love to make some for my grandchildren, but I can't find the parts. Does anyone know where to find beautiful doll parts in the Dallas-Fort Worth area? Andy in Arlington writes, I want to upgrade to a 16-gig iPhone 4, and all the local retailers seem to be out of stock. Does anyone know a better method of monitoring a retailer's on-hand stock than calling each of them one by one? And Matt in McKinney wants to know if there's a university with a doctor of pharmacy program in the DFW area. And let's see, one more question from the inbox. Eric in Fort Worth says, I used to buy Ibarra's tortillas at Fiesta in Fort Worth, but they're not there anymore, and the store can't tell me where else I can find them or if they're still in business. Eric says, I really like these tortillas, Ibarra's tortillas. Does anyone know where else I can find them? Call us, 800-933-5372, or email us, anythingkera@gmail.com. Let's talk next to Michael, calling from Dallas. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Hey there.
This past week, somebody talking on this station talked about the old model of the atom with the nucleus in the middle and the electrons spinning around, mm-hmm. and how that had been discredited for 50 years, but it was still being taught to school kids. And it was what I was taught, and I didn't know that it had been discredited. And I'm just curious what the new model's like, and I doubt if somebody can explain that on the radio, but maybe they could point me to a book that would have an easy-to-understand explanation with illustrations.
Sure. Do you remember which day or which program it was you heard
No,
of?
I can't remember what the show was.
Okay.
They were talking about education, I think.
Right.
And rather than science.
Sure.
Anyway.
Well, we'll see if we can get a suggestion for you and get you an answer.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Let's talk next at 800-933-5372 to Rosanna calling from West. Hello, Rosanna.
Hi.
Hey there.
I'm calling regarding to the lady that was asking for a plumber about the sewer odor in her home.
Yeah.
Well, I had the same thing in my home, except for I didn't go to the plumber. I went to my air conditioned man. I had a leak in my air condition, which was called the mold in my duct, and it gives an odorous type smell.
Huh.
So she may want to go that way.
Okay.
Instead of asking to, because if the plumbers can't find a leak in her vent, it may be her AC unit.
Very good. Hey, thanks so much for the suggestion.
Thank you.
Let's talk next at 800-933-5372 to Chris calling from Decatur. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Hey there.
Yeah, I was calling in answer to the dew point. I recently took a ground school to become a private pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it was explained to me, because pilots have been using dew point for many years, was it's an easier way of understanding humidity. It's that the temperature must reach or come close to the dew point before solid water molecules form and fall from the sky. So basically rain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's as you see a storm move in and the temperature drops rapidly, it approaches the dew point, which is the humidity, you know, percentage. So when the temperature comes down to, let's say, 76, the humidity becomes 100%, and then you get rain.
Got it.
So it's basically a temperature reference, what temperature it has to be for rain to fall.
Very good. Well, Chris, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's get one more answer on this from Brandon calling from Arlington. Hello, Brandon. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it sounds about right. The difference in what they're saying is that the dew point may be different higher in the elevation than what it is actually at the surface. So like you're saying, the humidity increases as the temperature falls until it reaches the dew point, and then humidity does reach 100%, which actually at the surface will result in fog.
Gotcha.
Since rain won't actually fall from, 20 feet from the sky.
Right.
But, yeah, essentially that's the same thing. I also wanted to I'll address the Bohr model as well, but the person who answered that question had said that a person flying from the equator to the North Pole would have to adjust their trajectory in order to reach the North Pole, and that would actually be the opposite. If you're flying from the North Pole to a certain location, anywhere in the lower altitude or lower latitude, then you would have to adjust. But if you flew directly on a heading of 0 degrees, which is the absolute north, then you're always going to reach the North Pole.
Okay.
Just, there. As far as the Bohr model is concerned, it was discredited, not completely thrown out, because it's a good conceptual way to understand the atomic structure. But with quantum physics, we understand that that's not actually how an atom is necessarily constructed, or if you want to use the term constructed, or at least put together.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Bohr model does explain the valence of electrons and does explain the behavior or the properties of a certain element. So we use the Bohr model because it's a good conceptual way for students to understand it, but quantum physics has shown that electrons can be in many different places all at one time, so you can actually be at one point in one place at one time, which doesn't go along with the Bohr model. So,
and they can be in different atoms, I guess, even. Is that
what
you're saying?
Yes, they'll actually be, if you, in a molecule, you would have electrons that were being in a covalent bond that would be around a nuclei of a different atom, but they would actually be attracted to be in more generally would be in one location more often than another, which would cause polarity or a non-polar situation.
Just, every week there's a call, Brandon, that reminds me of why I'm glad I went into radio. but thanks so much for calling. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
800-933-5372 is the phone number. Our email address, anythingkera@gmail.com. Larry in Fort Worth says, regarding the question about the cornfields that didn't get harvested, he says some landowners plant fields with crops in order to maintain their agricultural designation for property tax purposes. It is not absolutely necessary to harvest the crops to keep the agricultural designation, which does result in lower property taxes. Dan in Keller says the heart design is a carryover from old and incorrect anatomy and physiology drawings. He says prior to it being okay or acceptable to dissect human beings for scientific research, many of the assumptions about how the human body worked were based on the dissection of animals. In the case of the heart, he says, the anatomical drawings were originally based on what was learned from the dissection of frogs, which have a two-chambered heart versus four in humans. Thus, he says, our stylized heart comes from what was thought incorrectly to represent the human heart. Said another way, the classic heart shape is, in fact, a frog heart for this reason. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Ken in Weatherford. Hello, Ken.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
One more thing, response on the insurance question.
Okay.
My insurance company that I've been with forever in 3 days, when my oldest son, who is now 41, and oldest daughter, who is now 39, were in high school, both of them had multiple infractions and ended up, my insurance company excluded them from my insurance policy. Mm-hmm. And even though they have long since been out of the household, I still have the same insurance company. When I get a renewal on my policy, it still has exclusions on both of them. And so it's the underwriter thing, and I got to believe that the insurance company, the father didn't have to ask the son to turn in his driver's license. The underwriter should have just excluded them from the policy, such as my insurance company did.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks for the clarification.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. 800-933-5372 is where we find Ben in McKinney. Hello, Ben.
Hi. First of all, it's not really a direct answer to that person's question about the atom, but the show in which they talked about the discrediting of the atom paradigm was, I'm forgetting the name of the show now, but Chris's interview with David Eagleman. He wrote the book Some. But anyway,
I was
in California recently with my brother, and we went to this awesome deli, and we ate what are called half-done pickles, which I guess are literally, I'm guessing they're half-preserved, and they're a little less sweet than your normal pickle, but they're a little more springy, a little more effervescent, and I really loved them. I can't find them anywhere in the DFW area. And I was wondering if anyone knew what those were and if you could find them in the South.
Okay. Well, we'll see if anybody has a source for you. Half-done pickles.
Yes, sir. You got it.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Let's see. Paul writes, I'm a former histology tech at UT Southwestern and have dissected and stained many animal hearts and organs. And he says the heart symbol is actually a rough shape of an actual four-chamber mammal heart, the bottom representing the two ventricles of the heart and the top two humps representing the two atria. The V-shaped indention space at the top is where you would see the aorta coming out of the heart. If you were able to find a video of a heart pumping, this will be made very clear. Let's see. We got an answer on the iPhone from Dean in Addison. Hello, Dean.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's about the iPhone and where you can actually try to track the inventory without having to call everyone. There are a few websites, but Micro Center comes to mind. They're a retailer in Dallas and other places as well. But if you go to their website and you select the Dallas location, actually everything you get there in their search results are in real-time inventory from the store. So you can actually see if they have it in stock, and you can actually reserve it if you see one there before anyone else gets it. You can actually reserve it right there from your web browser, and then just go down and pick it up.
And my question, I have a further question on this. If you don't have to test drive it, you know you want it, so couldn't you, I guess, essentially order one and then go get it hooked up once it arrives? Or is it something you have to go get in the store to get it working right there?
I don't know how they do that. I know that there's a high demand for those right now, and so I don't know if they actually allow you to pre-order an iPhone right now, but they do have like a little Apple store in side of the Micro Center.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a great suggestion.
They would probably have an answer to that.
Great. Well, thanks for calling, Dean.
No problem. Thank you.
Let's talk next to Kristen calling from Dallas. Hello, Kristen.
I was calling about the gentleman that was asking about those barras tortillas.
Yeah.
Okay. They still sell barras tortillas. They're kind of going through some economy problems. I think they're thinking of shutting down. But you find those tortillas maybe at Arrow Coast Plus. Maybe even Fiesta, but
Maybe
you'll find them in the Airwolves Coast Plus and Forward, or anywhere you see an Airwolves Coast Plus.
Great. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email anythingkera@gmail.com. Let's see. Last word on the dew point from Vernon, who says, Dew point is that temperature that water vapor would form in the atmosphere, so fog, should the temperature drop to that level. It is reported as nightly temperature would have difficulty dropping to that temperature. As far as relative humidity, it is fairly confusing also. Cold air contains less humidity than warm air. You will note that the weather persons use temperature heat index and wind chill to reflect the comfort of the outdoor ambient air, which makes relative humidity less useful. Denny in Dallas says, I've seen those green lights that are cracked around town myself. He says, I think they just got a bad batch of replacement lights, and some of the ones that had the defect seem to have been replaced, but they seem to go bad again. He says, I also thought it was weird looking the first time I saw them. I also thought, Denny says, they were birds or bird nests. And Paul says, there is a myth that leaving your air conditioner on all day saves energy and that it has to work harder to bring the temperature down after being up higher all day. He says, air conditioners work on what's called a bang-bang control system. Either bang it's on 100% or bang it's off 100%. There is no in-between and there's no extra strain on the system. Thus, he says, turning your air conditioner off during the day saves money because you're not using it at all during the day. And when you turn it back on, it runs at the same rate under the same strain that it always runs at until the temperature reaches the set point. And then exactly at that moment, it turns itself off. He says this also improves the number of years your air conditioners will run because overall the compressor will run fewer hours if you do it this way. To maximize comfort and save energy, use a programmable thermostat that turns the system off when you're not home and turns it on just a little while before you come home, depending on how long it takes to cool the home off. 800-933-5372. I think we have time for maybe one more call, and let's talk to Daniel in Arlington. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay, I was calling about the Atom.
Yes.
And basically what I wanted to say is that the old Bohr model of the Atom is the mechanical model, and it has been replaced with the advent of quantum mechanics, and it's now what's called the quantum mechanics model of the Atom. And it takes into effect basically the wave nature of the electron. The nucleus is pretty much the same thing, but electrons kind of have the properties of a wave and a particle. So they use this thing called the Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, which basically states we don't really know where the electron is,
mm-hmm.
but we can kind of tell you where it might be. So you have these things called electron clouds, and basically all it is a probable representation of where the electron might be. Usually it can be like in two places at one time, essentially.
Right. Well,
so they have replaced the Bohr model with this new model because it's more accurately representing the behavior of the atom itself.
Well, Daniel, thanks so much for calling.
All right, thank you.
It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know, produced by yours truly. Nilofer Arsala is our engineer. Thank you, Nilofer. Fiona Norton answers the phones. Thank you, Fiona. Our associate producer is Betsy Lewis. Thank you, Betsy. And our intern, Elizabeth Igartua, works on the show every week, too. Thank you, Elizabeth. You can download episodes of the show at kera.org/anything. And, send your questions and answers to us. Send your comments and suggestions to anythingkera@gmail.com. Once again, I'm Jeff Whittington. Thanks so much for listening and for calling and writing in, and have a great weekend.